This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Filmmakers Joel and Ethan Coen are famous for their quirky sense of humor and love of film noir. Their crime comedy, Fargo, won an Academy Award for Best Screenplay. Their other movies include Blood Simple, Raising Arizona, Barton Fink, Miller's Crossing, and The Big Lebowski. The brothers co-write their films. Joel is listed as director, my guest Ethan as producer, but they say that in reality, they share all the work. Ethan Coen has a new collection of short stories called Gates of Eden. We invited him for a mini retrospective of the Coen brothers' most popular films. Let's start with their first film, Blood Simple, about a betrayed husband who hires a shady character to kill his wife and her boyfriend. That shady character, played by M. Emmett Walsh, delivers the opening monologue.
The world is full of complainers. The fact is, nothing comes with a guarantee. I don't care if you're the Pope of Rome, President of the United States, or Man of the Year. Something can all go wrong. And go ahead, you know, complain, tell your problems to your neighbor, ask for help, and watch him fly. Now, in Russia, they got it mapped out so that everyone pulls for everyone else. That's the theory, anyway. But what I know about Texas. Down here, you're on your own.
How do you go about plotting movies like Blood Simple when, you know, when there's the setup and things get complicated?
Yeah, we're really actually incredibly irresponsible about it. We just start writing at the beginning without an idea, without any idea really of how it's going to go. We don't, for instance, outline the script before we start writing it. We just sort of starting with the first scene and see where that leads, which is actually, oddly enough, maybe the reason things get sort of complicated. You end up painting yourself into corners if you don't know where you're going, and you perform weird contortions to get yourself out, which land you in odd places that, well, you certainly, and then hopefully the audience, never expected to find you in.
Your brother, I think, had been working on editing cheap horror films before you made Blood Simple together. Are there any particular shots or scenes or stylistic touches that relate to those horror films?
The best of the bunch was a movie by Sam Raimi called The Evil Dead, which had a couple of camera things that we just more or less sort of stole from Sam. One of them was just a really crude homemade method for moving the camera quickly without a camera dolly. But actually, you know, Sam's movie generally being the best of the ones that Joel worked on was something that we learned a lot from.
Is the shot that you're talking about that you borrowed from Sam Raimi that kind of really jumpy, fast? It looks like it would be a Steadicam shot, except it's really jumpy, and it's a really fast kind of... I don't know what to call it. It's not a zoom exactly.
No, it is just a fast track. You're right. Sam called it a shaky cam. It's a sort of homemade steady cam.
Right.
It's and what it is it's just a camera mounted in the middle of a 2x4, which one person grabs at either end and runs like hell with. So it has the, you know, you can sort of clear obstacles, jump over obstacles, skim over or under, whatever. And it's sort of much more fluid than a lockdown track would look, a sort of standard dolly move would look, and more energetic, largely because the lens is so wide. You have to use a really wide lens or it would become just unbearably bumpy.
Now, I think you used that shot when Frances McDormand is getting strangled in the movie.
Yeah, we did indeed, yeah.
Now, one of your movies, Barton Fink, is about a very pretentious playwright, played by John Turturro, who wants to write for a new living theater of and about the common man. And his successful plays lead a studio head to bring him out to Hollywood. And I want to play the scene where the studio head, played by Michael Lerner, welcomes Barton Fink to Los Angeles.
My name is Jack Lipnick. I run this stump. You know that. You read the papers. Lou treat me all right? Get everything you need? What the hell's the matter with your face? What the hell's the matter with his face, Lou?
It's not as bad as it looks. It's just a mosquito in my room.
Place okay? Where'd we put him?
I'm at the Earl.
Never heard of it. Let's move him to the Grand or the Wilshire. Hell, he can stay in my place.
Thanks, but I wanted a place that was a little less...
Less Hollywood. Sure, say it. It's not a dirty word. Say whatever the hell you want. The writer is king here at Capitol Pictures. You don't believe me? Take a look at your paycheck at the end of every week. That's what we think of the writer. So what kind of pictures does he like?
Mr. Fink hasn't given a preference, Mr. Lipnick.
So how about it, Pod?
Well, to be honest, I don't go to the pictures much, Mr. Lipnick.
That's okay. That's just fine. You probably walked in here thinking that was going to be a handicap, thinking that we wanted people who knew something about the media, maybe even thinking there was all kinds of technical mumbo-jumbo to learn. You were dead wrong. We're only interested in one thing. Can you tell a story, Bart? Can you make us laugh? Can you make us cry? Can you make us want to break out? Enjoy a song. Is that more than one thing? Okay. The point is, I run this dump, and I don't know the technical mumbo-jumbo. Why do I run it? Because I got horse sense, damn it. Showmanship! And also, and I hope Lou told you this, I am bigger and meaner and louder than any other kike in this town. Did you tell him that, Lou? Coffee?
Ethan Coen, did you ever get a disingenuous introduction like this from a Hollywood studio head?
No, that's certainly not based on life. I don't know that kind of character still exists anymore. Hollywood is a little more bland and corporate than that now. It's funny. I hadn't actually seen the movie since we finished it. Hearing it was Michael Lerner's quite funny.
Michael Lerner's great, yeah. And of course, did anyone ever try to convince you that the writer is king?
No, in a word, no. No, nobody's that bald at any rate.
After your first crime film, Blood Simple, the crime films became a lot funnier. And I guess the most successful of your crime films is Fargo, in which Frances McDormand, your sister-in-law, plays Marge Gunderson, the chief of police in Brainerd, Minnesota. And she's investigating a couple of murders. She's also very pregnant. So I want to play a scene in which she's with another cop and she's finding bodies at the crime scene.
Here's the second one. It's in the head and the hand there. I guess that's a defensive wound.
Oh, yeah?
Where's the state trooper?
Back there, good piece, in the ditch next to his prowler.
Okay. So we got a trooper pull someone over. We got a shooting. These folks drive by. There's a high-speed pursuit. Ends here, and then this execution-type deal.
Yeah.
I'd be very surprised if our suspect was from Brainerd.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, from his footprint, he looks like a big fella.
You see something down there, Chief?
No, I just think I'm gonna barf.
Jeez. You okay, Margie?
Yeah, I'm fine. It's just morning sickness. Well, that passed.
Yeah?
Yeah, now I'm hungry again.
That's a scene from your award-winning film, Fargo. One of the things I really like about this film is that although the criminals are all actually pretty dumb, Marge, the police chief, who looks like she might be mocked in the movie, is actually a very good cop with a very big heart and very likable. I just really love the way you handle this character in the movie. Tell me about creating Marge.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. A lot of people liked her, and I'm sure that's why the movie did well. I always thought she was the bad guy.
Did you really? Why did you think she was the bad guy?
I don't know. I just related to Steve Buscemi's character more. He seemed like the classic sane person in an insane land. Marge, definitely Fran's character, sort of embodying the insane land. I kind of found her a little bit alarming, as did Fran. We were all surprised, actually, that people liked her quite as much as they did, but, you know.
Well, tell me what you found alarming about her.
Well, she is definitely, I mean, there are admirable things about her, but she's also definitely sure of herself to an alarming degree. I mean, certainly not given to introspection.
Well, she doesn't eat very enticing food, I will say that. There's a great scene at the all-you-can-eat buffet in which she's, you know, loading up the plate with mounds of fricassee and mashed potatoes and fried balls of something or another.
Yeah, that seemed to sort of say it all, that track down the along the sneeze guard there with the Muzak playing.
Yeah, and I should say, the Muzak, I can't remember whether it's in this restaurant or another restaurant, where what is on the Muzak is the Burt Bacharach, Hal David song, Do You Know the Way to San Jose? And
thinking, it was that scene.
How much money did you have to pay for the rights to use the Muzak version of that song?
You know, Muzak isn't terribly expensive. The publishing rights, the rights to the song itself as opposed to the recording, were expensive, but the recording itself was pretty cheap.
You really thought the Steve Buscemi character is the most sane, and it's Steve Buscemi who is actually hired to kidnap the wife so that people can collect the ransom money, and everything gets out of control. Mm-hmm. What did you write into the Steve Buscemi character that made him so likable to you and so seemingly sane to you?
Well, I'll tell you, in one respect, he's sort of an audience surrogate in that he's the one person who's not local. Even Peter Stormare, his sidekick, is not of the region, but he's Swedish, so in that sense he's connected to the region. So as a sort of alien in the landscape, he's who even dresses inappropriately for the climate. He's, again, a sort of outsider and audience surrogate in that respect. And, you know, there's just something sort of refreshingly chatty and direct about Steve, his character.
And you've worked with him in several films.
Yeah, several. And we always end up killing his character for some reason.
Does he resent that?
No, he hasn't complained yet. Maybe that's why we continue to do it.
What's your approach to casting been? Do you do the casting yourselves? You've worked with some terrific actors in your movies. You know, Nicolas Cage, W.H. Macy, Frances McDormand, M.M. Walsh. Dan Hedaya, one of his early roles was in Blood Simple. John Turturro, John Goodman.
Yeah, we've been lucky. We've worked with great actors. But it's, you know, anybody who... it's really a buyer's market for that. There are a lot more good actors out there than there are good parts. So if you write something that's interesting to an actor, you'll have good actors to choose from. And, you know, we sort of do, in terms of the casting, it's always been a mix with us of writing parts for specific people that we know, or sometimes that we don't know, but whose work we know, as was the case with Emmett Walsh in our first movie. And writing parts for whomever, somebody that we don't have any sort of specific actor in mind for as we're writing, which we then subsequently go out and cast.
How'd you know Emmett Walsh?
Well, he was one of the ones whose work we knew but didn't know personally. There was a movie that he was especially good in. It was a really good role, a movie called Straight Time that we'd seen, and that seemed Emmett sort of definitely makes an impression in that one.
So you called him up and asked him to be in your movie?
Yep, it was about that simple.
And what did he say? I mean, you didn't have much of a track record yet.
No, we were actually really surprised that he agreed to do it. I'm not quite sure why he did. You know, in retrospect, I think it had a lot to do with the fact that we were shooting in Austin, Texas. It was a short time commitment for him, and he was going to be in Dallas anyway, working on a movie called Silkwood. So I think Emmett just figured, what the hell, I'm going to be in Texas anyway. But it was certainly a fortuitous thing for us.
Do you have a new movie in the works?
I don't know what we're doing now. For the first time, we've written an adaptation of a novel, which we've never done before. But since the novel is owned by a studio, our fate is a little bit out of our own hands. We're waiting to see if the studio will want to go ahead and let us make the movie.
What's the novel?
It's called To the White Sea. It's the last novel that James Dickey wrote. It's about a tail gunner in a B-29 who's shot down over Tokyo the night before the firebombing of Tokyo.
Well, Ethan Coen, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks.
Filmmaker Ethan Coen, he has a new collection of short stories called Gates of Eden. This is Fresh Air.